So I simplify it because the concept what I teach is sales is simple, but it's not easy,
Okay.
right? So the easier I can simplify it, the better I can teach it. My knack is not, I've not only done it for over 20 years, but I have a knack for teaching it to people so they can understand how to use it and what it means.
Okay.
So to simplify it for people is very simple. The purpose of a sale is to get someone to move.
Welcome to the Audacious Living Podcast, hosted by my man, Audley Stevenson, the Odd Man.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the Audacious Living Podcast, where our ongoing goal is to help our listeners live their best audacious lives ever. It's always a pleasure to have you here with us, and I appreciate you for each and every single one of you for joining us on our journey and taking the time to learn and grow all together. Now, we'll be talking about the art of sales on this episode of the Audacious Living Podcast. And when you think about sales, you know, it's kind of like a high wire act without a safety net. You know, audaciousness is that courage to take that first step onto the wire, knowing full well that success lies on the other side. Now, Benjamin Brown is a seasoned sales professional with over 20 years of experience. He has a unique talent for simplifying the sales process and helping individuals unlock their sales potential in both their careers as well as their personal lives. Benjamin's expertise and insights in the world of sales make him the perfect fit for today's episode, his innovative approach to sales and the emphasis on building relationships resonate strongly with the theme of living audaciously. And for certain, listeners will absolutely pick up a thing or two when you hear this conversation. So now that we're all set, let's move over to our chat with Benjamin Brown. Enjoy. Hey, Benjamin, how are you? Appreciate you taking the time to join me here on the Audacious Living Podcast.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. This is awesome. You know, we spend so much time on this podcast, encourage individuals to, you know, to how, you know, they can live their best audacious lives and, you know, go after the things that that are meant for them and live in boldness and courageousness and all these sorts of things that can help us get to a better place. And it's really interesting how a lot of those nuances touch on they touch in the area of sales, which you specialize in, and there's certainly some overlap in regards to that. And so it makes sense to be here to have this conversation with you. And so maybe as a starting point, you can sort of tell us a little bit about the work you do. We know it's in sales, but the work you do and kind of how you landed there. Like, was sales something you were always in?
No, I left the military and fell into it after personal training and getting into gym sales, and found that I had the kind of knack to deal with sales and use it as a career or a stepping stone to different things in my life. I've used sales pretty much throughout my life as an entrepreneur and also with other businesses. And it always comes into play in life as well. When you're dealing with sales, because life is sales, right? You're always selling your kids or something of that nature. And I simplify it for people that it is a language that has to be taught. It is a skill that you can carry on throughout your life and career if you want, just like welding or plumbing. Being a salesperson is a skill that you can acquire that can always use as a backup or a primary in your career.
So it's interesting because there's all sorts of thoughts or beliefs around what sales is and what is, you know, what it isn't, right? And I'm sure you've encountered many, like, oh, you're a salesman, what are you trying to do?
I always simplify for people, right? So I go and I ask you, what is the purpose of a sale?
And I would say that it is to it's less about the product and what I'm trying to give to someone, but more about trying to fit a need, right?
I always tell people, yeah, that's cool. When I ask them that question, I get various answers. And the concept of it is how are you going to do it if you don't know what it is?
Right.
So I simplify it because the concept what I teach is sales is simple, but it's not easy.
Okay.
right? So the easier I can simplify, the better I can teach it. My knack is not, I've not only done it for over 20 years, but I have a knack for teaching it to people so they can understand how to use it and what it means. Okay. So to simplify it for people, it's very simple. The purpose of a sale is to get someone to move, right? So you go to a website, click on this. I want you to buy this. Give me your email. This podcast, click on this link. Make this a, it's a little bit of movements. When your child asks you to pick them up, they're asking you to move. When you're driving down the road, or the billboards is asking you to call or asking you to go here, go to my website, look at this pamphlet, take a look here, answer this question for me. Little bits of movements in a way of helping somebody, if you're purpose-driven and your product serves and helps people to right. solve a need or a solution. Children, it doesn't have to do with monetization.
Right.
So people don't when they start to understand that concept, they understand it. Wait, I have to look at sales in a different kind of way than I thought. It's not as gritty or as, you know, that's the main thing I have to do with people, especially from the beginning that wants to get into it. And they think it's a negative aspect. It's actually all around you all the time. You just don't see it.
Right. 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 I like the way you do simplify it because, you know, movement, it's universally applicable, right? It's you, it's all things that we've experienced, it's all things that we've done ourselves. We've been on both sides of the table there. So when you simplify it, I think it's sort of that easier to understand, comprehend, and digest. What sort of feedback do you get from people when you do that?
Well, I've taken people, most of the people I work with, I generate anywhere between 20 to 60% because of all the other things that come into place technology wise. The main thing is getting into role playing and practicing it. It's an action item. So sales is an action item that has to be practiced. And so if you don't practice it, when you practice on potential clients, it doesn't work well. So 80% of sales is confidence.
Okay.
Rejection is automatic. So can you take the rejection? Comes with step number one, are you prepared for that mentally, physically, and professionally able to do that? And some people just, they're introverts or they think they can't take rejection in their life. And sometimes me, my role model transcends into performance coach, or what we call a mentality coach is what I do as well, for people who came out of divorces or people that came out of the military or having transitions in their life and having problems. I'm not a therapist. But the main thing is the first thing you have to sell in that instance is sell yourself.
Gotcha.
Right? So it's the same concept. So one of the things that tied everything together for me is when I learned when working with students over the years, if I can find out why they're not selling and solve that issue, then when I actually teach them to sell, it becomes a whole lot easier and way more proficient, right? Because they think they're unstoppable and you have to be that way when you get into sales.
Is there a common, and I'm sure there's a whole host of reasons why people aren't selling, is there some common ones that are out there?
Sometimes it goes back to childhood. They think, or what people told them, or what they're thinking themselves, or the point of rejection. They can't take it because life tells them that you shouldn't be rejected. Everything is even, especially nowadays. And it's, sales is a numbers game. If you want to get married, especially as being a male, you know that you just can't click and do. You have to go through some type of work and rejection to find the type of person that you're not the receiver, you're the giver. And same thing in sales. In order to do that, most people haven't made their mind up. So the salesperson is that little small catalyst, 10%, to get them to understand, yes, you do need this. And it's going to do because the salesperson is going to bring things, a good salesperson is going to bring things out of people they didn't expect. So that's the difference between pitching and wishing and a numbers game and all this other stuff. Find out why you really want it, these type of deals, and the confidence in going through the other steps will help that person understand that and understand that they do need it and, you know, put it back into their face and say, this is what you want, and people buy what they want.
Gotcha. What are some key skills that someone should have to succeed at sales?
Well, you can use anyone. I tell people one of the four people, and we haven't went through it. There's key points of it. So we can go through the four if you want later on. But one of the four top selling people in the continental United States or North America is a homeless person. A
Okay.
homeless person on a good corner can make anywhere normally with a good mind. Okay, in their asking, right, with the cardboard sign.
Yeah.
That they're marketing, they can pull out normally between $300 to $700 a day, right? Tax free,
Right.
right? The key component in that is that when they go out there, when that person sell, you give them money, what do you get in return? Do you know?
No, I, that's, I mean, well, sorry. I mean, there's some people who have a intrinsic feeling of goodwill of helping someone and making a difference in someone's life, right? For
It's
some.
an exchange, right? So in exchange for your money, what do you get in your hand that's tangible?
That's a good question. What do you get?
I give you a dollar. What do I get? What does a homeless person normally give you? Nothing.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
So what job, you know, without a tremendous amount of marketing, without websites, without a bank,
Right.
without internet marketing, without Facebook ads, without click-throughs, without a fax machine, without an office, without a secretary, without maybe a cell phone, all of this making $700 a day and they're selling what?
Nothing.
So why you have all of these different tools and you barely can make that in a day is because
Right.
that homeless person is focused. They don't care what they look like.
Right.
They don't care what people tell them. They don't care about rejection. They're not caring about the family. They're not caring about rent.
Right.
They focus on what they want, which is normally something that's going to be an aid to them. Sleeping in a better situation, alcohol, drugs, food, their focus. So most people in entrepreneurship, they get into it. What's the first thing they want to do? I want to get a business card and a website. You haven't done anything. So, you know, go make money first, right? Marketing always
Right,
does,
right.
right? And so the one of the keys that I just gave you out of the four was that homeless person characteristic is being focused. They don't care about the rejection. So if I could change a person's mindset to one of those four components, they could do very well in sales.
Right. It you know, rejection, that was one of the points that you made. Let's sort of talk about that a bit, because I think for a lot of people, that's the big, you know, either the fear of it or when it arrives, you don't know what to do with it. So talk about sort of the mindset when it comes to dealing with rejection.
Well, it's not all about you.
Okay.
And you can't take it personal. And then you take it to the higher level that I've learned over the years. Nothing means nothing
Right.
unless you attach something to it. Most of the emotions that we have are transcribed. Or we're attaching emotions to things that we should not be doing. I've worked many years with coaches that got me to that understanding. We have anxiety about certain things that really doesn't matter. We'll have build up this scenario in our head of what's going to happen if we're late on a bill, all this, everything. And then you finally pick up the phone call to make, and they're like, oh, you're fine. Just make this payment. You're like, man, why was I so stressed out about, you know? And it's like, I built that in my head. I made that up. So we make up a lot of things. And when sales comes into part,
Right.
the first thing that I analyze with people is number one, you have to like or love the product. If you don't like it, love it, leave it.
Right.
Whatever you transpire comes through in your voice and your characteristics. So if you're doing it by phone or face to face, people are looking at to understand, first of all, do you believe in what you're selling?
Right.
If you don't, then why should I? And then I feel the fact that you might not be what they call it, empathetic.
Right.
And if you don't care, that means that you're saying it for the money and you're trying to rip me off, which is most why people feel that way, right? Because most salespeople are what? Empathetic. That's when they start doing the pitching and wishing. Now you got robocalls. You have computers now doing it. They
Sure.
don't care about what you feel, right? Right? And we're trained to be defenders of that for ourselves. And that's why when you see people. You've been to Jamaica?
Yes, absolutely.
You've been to, huh?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
You've been to Dunn's River Fall?
Yep.
Okay, you know when you go through the fall and everything and you see, I hate to say Caucasian people, right? And you get them from North America and you come through at the end, you go back through, and you, when you come on the other side, you have a number of people on the other side. What are they doing?
They are, good question. What are they doing?
The people that selling the artwork on the
other
side. Oh,
yes, yes, yes. That's right. Yes, that's right. Oh, absolutely.
Do you see the reaction to
absolutely.
People?
Yes.
They're like this, right? They freaked out. They're like, first of all, it's another culture. Most of the people have never seen that amount of Afro-Americans coming at the same time. They start to lock up. Like, you know, they don't know they come from. And it's because we live in a Western civilization where we earn what we get.
Right. Right.
We don't ask for it. Third world countries, you ask for everything.
Sure, sure.
So when you live in a culture like that, I have to understand what people have that mindset. We're asking all the time. It's just a different way. And when you start a company after you've been working for a corporation, given everything, and you start a company, you now realize you have to start asking for your sale. People become uncomfortable because they haven't sold in years. But as a child, you naturally have been born to sell. But when you live in a Western civilization, you earn it. You get your degrees, you get your money, you buy your house. The only thing you have to negotiate is your house and car.
Right.
In Jamaica, everything, there's no prices. You negotiate everything. India, all of the countries,
sure.
Philippines,
go to Mexico on the beach.
You're, and people are like, what do I? And some people will get offended if you don't.
Yeah. Because they're not used to it. It's a different way of doing things.
It's the way the world worked before the Western civilization. So it's already in us. I just have to sometime bring it out.
I like the statement you said. It's not about, you know, us, or not about you, right? Like, so when you face rejection, there's oftentimes just things going on the backside that's got, you've got no connection to it all, but we just personalize everything. Right. And I think that's maybe our ego a little bit sort of getting in the way. Making us think that we're, you know, are increasing our sense of importance in this instance when it's not us at all, right?
Right.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point. The idea of being able to sell anything, I think it's fascinating, because really this mindset that you're applying and talking about, the simplification, you know, making it about movement, it's not about us. It's really making it, you're taking that approach and really applying it to any spear you want, right?
I had companies come in and ask me, hey, I don't know if you can help us. We sell this. And we're talking $10 million companies. I'm talking to CEO with a CFO. Mm-hmm. And I constantly say, and I have no problem saying, I say, I don't give a F what you're selling. It has nothing to do about that. It's about the process. And they understand, I went one day, for example, and a guy, challenged me years ago, you know, we were talking and said, this guy wants to buy this jet.
Okay.
Can you sell this jet? I said, yeah, sell a jet.
Sure.
It's a $3 million jet. This is back in the, you know. And so the guy says, if you sell it, I'll give you commission. I'll give you, 10%, whatever. And I'm like, okay, that's good. Good money. And the challenge. And he says, what do you need from me? What do you need from me? You know, it's like a bet.
Right.
I said, just give me the parameters of the plane, like a one, two page sheet, the weight, how much it weighs, what's the comparison. Mm-hmm. Give me that on one sheet, have the people do it. Let me take a look at it for like a day or so. And then we can bring the guy in on Monday and I'll be dressed. And that's what we did. Came in on Monday. Hi, my name is Ben Brown. Didn't know shit about me.
No.
I'm here to explain the jet for you. Tell me a little bit about yourself. I want to stand out. I just go back through my process. I'm confident in my process. I don't care. I'm just watching the customer because I'm confident. You have to do a lot of that. I went through the ins and outs of and then I just came towards Dan and I said, do you see any reason why we shouldn't be doing this? I based upon what you said and what you need. This is what you really need. Let's get the paperwork started and get you going. He said, well, yeah, I see. We can start doing it. And I came back and I said, here's your deal. And the guy said, I can't believe you just did it. I said, I simplified the sales process. You just tie in a product or service on top of it, whether it's $100 or $100,000. You simplify it because you're watching.
Yes.
The key here that I tell people, the three things you need to do in the sale, you have to do it simultaneously. Number one, you have to know where you're going.
Yes.
Have to have that down. You have to be confident in it because you're going to be tested,
right?
Right?
Now, I just want to clarify, Ben. So when we talk about that sales process, would that be the first step in the process?
Well, it's getting prepared, right?
Okay.
Right. So step number one is knowing where you're going. This is what you're doing. This is not the steps. This is what you're constantly doing. And the sales, you're above the sale. You're looking down at yourself and the other prospect, right? Mm-hmm. You're like a third person because you're constantly evaluating what you're doing. So number one, you got to know where you're going.
Yes.
Test it true. Make sure you're on it. Number two is that you got to be confident, right? And then number three, you got to listen. So you have to do all three of these at the same time.
Yeah.
And listen to, so you're like in the zone and understanding and shut out everything else, which I said, the homeless person, you're focused, right? On the sale. You're not worried or jutting around and all this kind of other stuff while you're going through the process you're doing. So that's where the practice comes into play. You're constantly judging yourself. Did I do okay? Because most of the time, salespeople will blame everything else except them what?
Yeah.
The leads wasn't good. It was Thursday. Christmas is coming. It's fourth quarter. Oh, he wasn't home. He wasn't feeling it. Oh, this and that. He wasn't qualified. See, salesmen will sell you and everything else, but with the reason why they couldn't even sell it. Right?
That's it.
Right. Real common sense stuff.
I get it. Talk about how important the relationship is, establishing a relationship when it comes to sales.
Okay. So that comes into step number two, which is called connect and relate in the sales process that I have. What that means is that you need some type of connectivity because I'm going to ask more difficult questions than another salesperson because I am here to help you and not waste my time.
Right.
The more difficult questions when I ask you, so based upon your problem that we see that you have, huge problem, if I could provide a solution for that, and if I'm confident enough to put a price point on that pain, is there anything holding us back from doing this when? When? Today. Right? This is the questions that I'm going to ask, and I need to build that type of camaraderie with you because I need you to be honest. As buyers are liars, but I need, the closer I find out, like we talked, you're in Toronto. I could say I have family members that's in Mississauga. What part? Blah, blah, blah. We started to build. So one example I use all the time is funny. I said, if we just met today, I come on and I asked you, I walked up to you in Toronto down the street. Said, hey, how you doing, brother? What's going on? What color underwear you wear? What the first thing you'll do?
Look at you funny.
Right. I ask you a question. I want something from you. I'm asking you a question. I want you to be honest with me. Tell me what color underwear. Now, if I went up to you and I said, hey, we're in the street. And I said, hey, do you like cigars? I got this free cigar we're talking. What part are you talking about? So on and so forth. And I said, when I go down south, in a certain county that they have, they normally wear green underwear. I'm wearing green underwear. What are you wearing? What color are you wearing? Right. He's like, I'm wearing black today. Now, did I get my question answered?
Sure.
So being able to build some type of connection when I ask you difficult questions or I go, you really want this. Why are you trying to hesitate with me? I can push a little harder. I can ask more difficult questions. I save the time. So what a good sales consultant does is he shortens the time between sales.
Gotcha.
Any person can get a sale if they put enough work, effort, or numbers in there. But if I can shorten the sale between Monday, Friday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, that is my job to do if the product is viable or the service, right? Make sense?
It makes total sense. So my sort of follow-up question to that is there a recommended time that should be spent on establishing that relationship to enable you to ask those difficult questions?
I've been in situations where I've talked to a person for 45 minutes. Each stage doesn't have a time limit. So as I go through the 10 steps, there's no clicking time on each stage. And depending on how it goes, I could spend 30 minutes. I haven't even told you about the product we haven't discussed. It depends on how it flows, right?
Right.
So the more you give me, the more I'm going to be more confident, more relaxed. I'm focusing on what I'm thinking about. I'm focusing on the next step. which is qualification. So as you're talking and we're having this conversation back and forth, and Bill, oh, you went to this college? Really, my daughter went there. Do you know this guy named, oh man, you know, we all are humans. We're very similar. We're very similar. We all think that we're special. We're not. I tell people, no, women, men, children, we're just regular people. Once we get out of that and understand that we're all just humans, and I tell my daughter, which is cool, and I got her thing, I say, we're all idiots, just some people are professionals at it.
Some are better than others.
Yes, you can't blame them. Let them go. You know, don't, nobody's hired in any other. It's not possible. And so once you have that mentality, a lot of anxiety come down. You're talking with another human. So sometimes when we're doing sales, some of the jobs that we don't, we've been talking to CEOs, the intimidation factors set in. I'm like, it's just another human. You know, is this, you built this in your head that this person is better than you. You need to be talking either on an even keel or a little bit above to command the sales process. And if you're talking from below, it's a begging standpoint, and people don't like, except for the homeless people, and they make a lot of money.
They mastered it because they're focused, as you said, right? They're very
It's
focused.
coming back. So everything I do comes back. And you go over and over and over and over and over again. We go over and over, and it's like click, 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 click. So after about 30 days of working with me, most of the time I found in years, whether you've been in sales for years, but to have the mindset, and then physically work out. I have a workout program. I have a nutritional program because it's body, mind, soul, right? And so if you have all of this put together, you're pretty much unstoppable.
So once you I'm just sort of thinking as we go along the process, you've qualified. Is that the end there? Have you done your job, or what's next?
The next is the mo one of the most important parts of the sales presentation that most salespeople don't use, and it's called emotional triggers. People run away from things or run to things they want. That's why they buy them. You have to find out the emotional reason. Even though it's a Fortune 500 CEO talking about software, there's an emotional reason for that purchase. Most salespeople skip this step. That's the glue that sticks to the point where you don't have to close as much. So if I ask you, why do you need a new car? You say, well, I need a new car because, you know, the old car is not working or something of that nature. What do you mean? Tell me about that. Well, the car is broken down. Really? Tell me about that. Well, it broken down. I had to get a tow truck. My wife crossed town, blah, blah, blah. We talk about that. I'm trying to find one word. So I'm having a conversation with you. All of a sudden, I go, with all that happened, how did that make you feel?
Very
Person said,
much.
make me feel like frustrated. Like, really frustrated? Yeah. So when I get towards the end of the sale, and I said, the reason that you need to get another car is because you don't want to be what? Frustrated, right? So it's not that you don't want a new car because you want to look good in it. I did the digging to find out the emotional reason you want it. So I'm solving the emotional reason, not the monetary solution, right? And if you do that, it makes the sale a lot easier, and you don't have to close if you
Now,
don't.
work is hard.
Yeah, all this kind of stuff. Most of the work is done up front. Make sense?
No, it does make sense, and I think it's important that it's important that there's a process for sure, and that if you're able to follow that process, one step through, it breaks sort of that sales process down, right? Having those steps and those, okay, now we're here now. But it's all, I think also too, it's recognizing when you're in one, like you as you move through one step, because there's not always going to be a checkpoint of, okay, now we're on to step number two. It's sort of a transition that you've got to be able to read, isn't it?
So what you're doing in essence is that the cool thing about being a good salesperson and knowing the process is that I'm not trying to win you over. I'm trying to see if you're wasting my time. I'm the prize because I have the solution that you want.
I
Flip
like
the
that.
whole entire mentality script. Like, I don't know if you deserve this product. Now you need to answer a couple of questions, see if I can help you and be a service to you. Would that be okay? So I'm going through the check marks before I even tell you my solution, which most people, salespeople, want to run to the solution. quickly as possible, and the presentation will set you free. No, the process will set you free, right?
Gotcha,
So
gotcha.
being able to know that makes it a whole lot easier for you to do that. And it's a whole change of mindset when people are like,
Sure.
and 30, 40 days later, they're like, oh no, I got it. It's everywhere I see it. It's like coming out of the matrix, right? And I'm like, yes, it's like, I hate to say it, it's like an orgasm for me, because being able to change people's mindset on sales, because I've been in it so long, when I figured it out, I'm like, wow, it's not that hard. I just been looking at the whole, people are telling me the wrong way to look at this. And then I use it on analogies, if you're a musician, sport, so you can get it, right? And once you get that, it's just incredible the things that you can do.
And I do like the idea of, figuring out if this person's wasting your time versus vice versa. I think that's an interesting one because, at the end of the day, you're gonna have some people who you just won't be able to sell to, right? And the tire kickers, if you will, they'll take you down journeys, ups and downs, and they will waste your time with no intention of purchasing or buying.
Now, here's another thing you got to understand. If you're doing that on a regular basis as a salesperson, like I used to do on the phone for 5 years, doing 180 dials, how do you feel around about 3 o'clock?
You're done.
You're exhausted, right? So it takes a toll on you. It's a lot of energy you're expending. So by shortening the sale, you're getting closer and closer to the next sale, which also gives you a little bit more momentum. Most people quit. If this is not working, the leads suck, I just want out of here, or this is not, sales is not for me, this kind of stuff, when most of the time you haven't been trained properly, or the company hasn't given you enough tools to be successful. And you need that, because we're all human.
That's right. And again, anything that can ex to conserve your energy, because you're going to need that energy for the actual sales process. Not trying to find not for prospecting. Like, oh, you shouldn't be based on prospecting. You need it for the sales part of it, right? So I get it. I get it.
Well, one of my mentors explained to me that money and monetization is basically exchange of energy. It's
Okay.
not dollars, because you don't, in 5 years, you're not going to even see it in your hand anymore.
Right.
It's an exchange of energy. So once you understand money in that type of situation, that mentally changes the game too.
Got you. So as we talk about sales, and it's been around forever, as time has gone, are the things that have changed with sales, or is it pretty much the basically the same?
Sales is never change. It's just the tools that you have.
Hmm.
Before, in the 50s and 40s, they had what? They had door-to-door salesmen. All of a sudden, radio came about, right? Radio ads, they have people move and call and come down to the store. TV came about. Wow, I can visually see the things that I might want to buy. That's where soap operas came from, people buying soap because their moms were home. Soap operas. Next thing you know, this little device that came in that's very powerful that we still use today, it's called a phone. Whether it's a home phone or a cell phone,
Got it.
it is another tool. Now you have Facebook. Now you have Instagram. Now you have all of these little other tools, and people are so confused. How can I get to reach my customer with all of these different mediums? When I started in sales, I was lucky enough, we had a black phone and a notebook. Now I have an electronic notebook called Remark that has everything in it. But that's all we had, a ring binder. And we're doing $180. We're doing $2,000 a week. And you took home about $2,000 a week. The company was doing $500,000 in sales with 125 reps on the phone all day. Just the phone, no computer screen to look at, no screen savers, no YouTube in the spare, just focused on the phone. We were actually upset when they gave us computers because it slowed us down. Databases, right? We want everything in a database. We're like, we just called and you put it in the database. That was a very big change, and the computer was like very weird to us, right? We didn't trust it. So when people tell you that sales is trained and it's more about, on LinkedIn, they tell you it's more about people and this and that. Same thing. The steps just got bigger. So connecting and relating just got longer than it did back in the days. Same thing. Keep it simple, stupid.
I love it. I love it. Benjamin, I think the manner, again, you use the word simplify off the top, and the simplification of the process really is a difference maker, all this, because the simpler it is in our minds and how we approach sales and how we feel about sales will have an impact on our ability to be successful and getting people to move, as we said. So I think that's a great way of laying it
Because
out.
we're all what? What are we all? Say it. We're all what?
Humans.
And we're all idiots. Just some of us are professionals.
Hey. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Take full responsibility for being idiot number one. Are
That's it.
you going to do that? And I tell people, are you going to do that with the people on the phone? And
Right.
then once you understand that, you don't have to get emotionally wrapped when they don't buy from you. Sometimes it just doesn't work out because my next deal is give my energy on the next call. I can't carry that over. I don't have the benefit of feeling about
Right.
it. I don't. They don't care. The next call, if you're 3 o'clock and you're burnt out and you're like, oh, this is Ben Brown. I was calling to see, like, oh my goodness, this guy is not going
You're
to get it.
done.
You're already out the game.
You lost them. You lost them.
Right.
That
When you
window.
got the ability to go see Hamilton, and when it first came out, it was like boys, and then you find out by a year later there was different characters. It wasn't original characters, but it was the same thing. You kind of like, I seen it. I want that guy, right? I want that guy. Every time they go out every night and do Hamilton, they don't have the benefit of like, let's dumb it down and make it quicker.
Right. No, you.
End of the week, it's Friday.
Yeah, no. You present it as it is, right? And don't change anything again, but establish that baseline of this is how I'm gonna operate, this is the energy I'm gonna bring, and here's how I'm gonna do it. And that remains constant. But when it's up and down, it's gonna make your job that much more difficult.
Sales is performance-based, hence why I changed over into performance, which means mentally I brought this into my game plan about a year ago. It's like, what are you doing physically? Are you working out? Are you in shape? Are you mentally eating right? Because all these things do matter. You cannot be in a negative type state when you're actually putting out energy. So, one coach that I work with, I'll give a shout out to Wes Watson. He's at Miami, big dude. He's in jail for years. He's a multimillionaire. And changed my whole life by saying, you're better than just a sales coach. You're a performance coach, mentality wise. You've been through a lot in your life. I'm a little bit older than a lot of people. I've been through a divorce. I've been in the military. Use that to help people get better in their lives just besides sales. And I have been encompassing that as well, where I have a nutritional program, very simple, track macros, working out, you
Right.
feel better, everything better, no matter if you're in sales or not. And you have somebody that's accountable for that and pushing you through, which everybody needs a mentor. I have two. I mean, it's just part of the game.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
No, it
10
makes
years ago.
sense. It makes sense. That extra push doesn't hurt at all, Ben. Doesn't hurt at all. No, it doesn't. Listen, I've super appreciated the dialogue and chat. This has been really, really good, the insights. I always, when I see these dialogues, I always think about, well, that one thing I take away. And for me, the whole idea of just understanding that it's a process of movement, and the way we simplify it really will make a difference in how we approach it and really, and attack the sales process, if you will. So thank you for that. For our listeners who want to learn more about you or catch up with you or connect with you in some way, where do we send them, Ben?
Well, it's Ben Bond, sorry, Ben Brown Trey, TRE on Instagram. It's 360 Sales Consulting. I have my book on there, Master the Art of Closing the Sale, 360 Sales Consulting. But I have a lot of people just contact me through meetwithbenjamin.com and you can schedule an appointment to find an assessment, find out what you're looking for in life, and figure out if somebody can help you reach that next level, because that's what we always do to get to the next level. It cannot be me.
Nice. In our conversation with Benjamin, we explore the power of simplifying the sales process and the importance of understanding the emotional triggers behind every purchase. By focusing on building genuine connections and honing in on the emotional needs of the customer, we can drive successful sales and create meaningful impacts. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Audacious Living Podcast. If you're interested in connecting with Ben, please know that we've got all the details in our show notes. You can certainly turn there, learn more about, you know, his proven sales strategies, and again, his philosophy on being successful in the art of sales. Remember to like, follow, and share our podcast to keep the audacious spirit alive and continually to help our community grow. Until next time, stay safe, be kind, show love to one another, and be audacious.
You've been listening to the Audacious Living Podcast, hosted by...